It is such a joy to be here tonight and see so many faces of those of you who I have known for the past, going on 5 years, and so many new faces. So if you are new, welcome. It is such a joy to be your pastor's wife. And I was thinking about this today because as I was prepping for my talk and just going about the busyness of today, I got so many text messages from y'all letting you know you were praying for me. Thank you. I feel so prayed for, loved, and just grateful for each one of you. And I feel so called to alongside Grant and this body at Capitol. So as I've been studying and memorizing this Proverbs 31 woman, I have been so impacted by the portrayal of this woman. An overarching aspect of her character is how her focus is on her home and family. And I just want you to know, as your pastor's wife, that I'm striving as well to make my husband and children my primary ministry, as well as being a faithful member here at Capitol. And I also believe that this Proverbs 31 woman will encourage you right where you are in whatever season you are in, single, married, young, old, a mature believer, or just beginning your spiritual journey. This chapter of scripture contains truth for us all. Now, tonight, what I plan to do is give you an overarching summary of her life. Proverbs 31 is, as you know, a huge chapter. So for you to go deeper, we have put together a note in your memory and study of this proverb. Slowing down to copy and memorize God's word is one of the best ways to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And this booklet, I hope, will enable you to go deeper into this proverb. I also want to let you know there are blank pages in the back. So if you want to take notes tonight, you can. But I'm just so excited for y'all to have this resource, and I hope that you'll use it to memorize this proverb. This Proverbs 31 woman is one of the models for Christian women in all of history. 1 Timothy 2:9-15, 1 Timothy 3:11, 1 Timothy 5:9-15, Titus 2:3-5, and 1 Peter 3:1-6, which are all passages of scripture in the New Testament that outline godly womanhood. They all echo this ancient woman, this ancient model woman found in Proverbs 31. In every verse of this chapter, you can either trace a direct parallel or an indirect application to one of these New Testament passages. If Peter and Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, draw from this woman's life when telling us who we ought to be as godly women, we ought to know this model woman. Really know her. I want to really know her. Now, as many of you know, the book is a book of wisdom. It opens in chapter 1 with telling us the way of wisdom. Wisdom is calling, the Proverbs say, who will listen? In Proverbs 9, the way of wisdom is outlined again. She is a lady building her house, and she sends out more ladies to call out to the simple. We see Lady Folly too. She is seductive and knows nothing. Both of these ladies call to the simple. One imparts life and the other death. Will we listen? And here the book of Proverbs ends with this model lady. We have the treasure of godliness and wisdom in the book of Proverbs. The book culminates with this woman of strength, this pinnacle of what female beauty truly is. Verse 10 tells us how priceless this type of godly woman is. She is more precious than jewels. Verses 10 through 31 were written in a Hebrew acrostic for easy memorization. Every single Jewish boy and girl would have to memorize Proverbs 31. George Horn, an English pastor in the 1700s, said regarding this proverb, "All mothers and mistresses should teach the female pupils under their care to read and learn it by heart." Charles Bridges writes, "So rare is this woman that the challenge is given in verse 10. Who can find this virtuous woman?" So who is she? Why is she so important, and what makes her the model of the New Testament? First, I want you to see that she's a woman of faith. The woman of strength is a woman of faith. Look with me at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. This Hebrew word excellent doesn't mean how we often use the word that, you know, that was an excellent soup or this was an excellent dinner. This word alludes to power and strength. It's a word literally used in military context. Besides here in Proverbs 31, there's only one woman in Scripture who is given this attribution of it, and that in the Hebrew canon, the book of Ruth immediately follows Proverbs. So the Proverbs ask, who can find this woman? And then the answer comes in Ruth. In Ruth 3:11, Boaz says of Ruth, and now, daughters, do not fear. I will give you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. She was a worthy woman. She was an excellent woman. She was a strong woman. Ruth was a woman of tremendous courage. She tragically lost her husband and then was leave her home to follow her mother-in-law to a new land. This type of strength came from her faith in God. Ruth gives this declaration to Naomi as she leaves behind everything she has ever known. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Ruth leaves behind everything she has ever known to follow Christ. Bravery is all the more beautiful when you read it in context of her sister-in-law Orpah's turning back to the false gods of the Moabites. Instead, Ruth gives herself completely to the one true God. As Ruth began to trust God, she exercised faith. Thus, she became excellent. So, what I want you to see is that in the background of this word excellent is the Proverbs 31 woman's faith. An excellent wife, who can find her? An excellent woman is a woman of faith, and she is rare. She is precious. Faith is the simple mustard seed in which the most fruitful of trees grow. Jesus didn't say, if you have a massive amount of faith, you can walk this Christian life. No, if you have a tiny grain of true faith, you can move mountains. And godly womanhood always begins with faith. You know, people so often look at the Proverbs 31 woman and they think, I could never do that. I could never do what she does. I'm not like that. But they are missing the quiet simplicity of all that she does, which is faith. Hebrews 11 gives us a picture of what faith can do. By faith, people conquered kingdoms. By faith, people stopped the mouths of lions. By faith, people quenched the power of fire. By faith, people escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, people were made strong out of weakness. By faith, people became mighty in war. By faith, people made foreign armies to flight. By faith, people were in prison, mocked, flogged, stoned, tortured, sawn in two, and killed. Don't tell me what faith can't do. Faith changes the world. But I also need to say this. There are so many women who are trying to be the Proverbs 31, doing so many beautiful things outwardly. And they might even look like they are the Proverbs 31 woman. But if they are missing the inner virtue of faith, they couldn't be further from who she is. So let me ask you, do you have faith? Have you done what Ruth did? Have you said, God, I want you above all else. I don't want to pursue this world. I want you. Don't jump to all the beauty of this woman without missing the inner beauty of her faith. 1 Peter 3, 3 through 6 commends this inner beauty of godly womanhood, saying, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Secondly, what I want you to notice about this woman is her focus. So the woman of strength is a woman of faith. The woman of strength is a woman. Look now at where she puts her focus, because when your eyes are on heaven, you are able to focus on what truly matters. And what is unique about this woman is that with the eyes of faith, her focus is on others and not herself. She is the embodiment of Philippians 2, 3 through 6. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Indeed, this woman considers others more important than herself. Now, this model Proverbs 31 woman is married with children. And this focus that she has is what a woman's focus should look like if she is married with children. And I will just say parenthetically, there are life phases of womanhood. Childhood, young womanhood, seasons of singleness, married without children, married with young children, married with grown children, out of the home, etc. This room is filled with those seasons. And your focus in various seasons of life is going to look a bit different. And this is not to say that those seasons or the work you are doing is demeaning or does not glorify God. Was Ruth bringing glory to God when, as a widowed and childless woman, she left her homeland to follow Christ? Yes, she was an excellent woman. And remember, God used Naomi when she was barren, old, husbandless, and childless to play a vital role in bringing about the Messiah. God is never done with any of us. And when our focus is on him, he will use us in every season of our life. Doesn't waste one single moment. So as we're looking at this woman's focus, what it is revealing to us is her character. Because your character doesn't change when you get married. Your character is just revealed when you get married. So if you're selfish as a single woman, you will be selfish as a married woman. Now, certainly God sanctifies us in all life stages. Praise be to God. But whatever stage we're in, if you say, I'm not married right now, I don't have children, we can learn from this woman's selfless focus. Now, this woman has been given this gift of a husband and children, but here's the thing, married with children or not, this Proverbs 31 woman is a unique woman. In a unique circumstances. She has wealth and resources that most of us will never have. She has servants, which I guess maybe I have some of those. I'm just kidding. Verse 15, she had money to invest. Verse 16, she manages lands. Verse 16, she is a seller and buyer of goods at the market that go out on ships to Tyre. But I think we are given this extreme picture. Because what kind of woman do you usually find who has this type of wealth? Desperate housewives, right? Or the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Or a woman who delegates her work every which way so she has ample time for her own leisure. What if God gave you everything you ever wanted? What would your focus be? This woman has been blessed, and she uses every ounce of that blessing to pour out her life to others. Her life is a picture of fruitfulness because of her character. Your life can be just as beautiful as this woman when your focus is off yourself and onto others. You may be single, you may live in an apartment, or perhaps your resources may be limited. But Jesus said, faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. Your life can be filled to the brim with fruitfulness and faithfulness like this woman. But I do want to look at her focus. So let's look first at verses 11 to 12 and her focus on her husband. It reads, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This whole idea in our culture that the woman needs to have the reciprocal every to her husband is contrary to what the Proverbs 31 woman does. She is a true helpmeet. She lifts up her husband. She is not competing with him. She is supporting him. One of my favorite Matthew Henry quotes referring to Eve's creation in the Garden of Eden is something I go back to again and again. He said this, the woman was made out of a rib of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. This Proverbs 31 loved by her husband. She's not tearing him down with her words. She is his encourager. She wants his best. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Paul likewise says in 1 Corinthians 7:34 that a married woman is concerned about how to please her husband. If you are married, is this true of you? I fear we have come so far in our selfish society that the thought of pleasing your husband is almost laughable. Instead, it's, well, how is my husband pleasing me? And of course, marriage is filled with mutual affection. But remember, too, that the man was not created to be a woman's helper, but the other way around. He's the crown of creation. Adam was created out of dirt, just saying. Eve in a beautiful garden. Adam declared, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Man and woman are created equally before God, but we have different roles in the marriage relationship. And this Proverbs 31 woman gets it. Her faith impacts her focus. Her worldview isn't shaped by the world, but by God. Our role as women is powerful. It's unique. And we see throughout Scripture the devastating effects that a woman can have when she does not do her husband good, but evil. Just a few from Scripture. Solomon, his wives, drew away his heart from following the Lord. Jezebel, who was just obviously awful, stirs up her husband to do terribly wicked things. Job's wife, this was just terrible. She tells her husband, curse God and die. Proverbs 21:9 and Proverbs 25:24 talk about the curse of living with a contentious and quarreling wife. No one wants to be that woman. She tears down her home with her own hands. And then in Scripture, we have examples of good mixed with evil. We have Rebecca. She cares deeply for Jacob, but then she deceives him by bringing Jacob him to bless instead of Esau. We have Rachel. She loves but brings idols into her family when she takes her father's household gods. And we know of Michael doing good to David at first. She preserves his life when Saul tries to kill him. But then when David is worshiping the Lord, she despises him in her heart. And the list could go on, but this woman here, she does him good. Matthew Henry says of this woman, she conducts herself so that he may repose an entire confidence in her. He trusts in her chastity. He trusts in her conduct that she will act in all affairs with prudence and discretion. He thinks himself so happy in her that he envies not those who have the most wealth of this world. He needs it not. He has enough having such a wife. And I don't want you to forget as you're hearing that, that what enabled her to love like this is her faith. Her husband is not her highest end. God is. And she knows all his flaws. She knows his sin. But because of faith, she makes him her focus and his heart trust in her. Her focus is also on her children. If you look back at verse 2 in that opening section, I want you to think about the mother who is teaching her son about this model woman. And just hear the passion in her voice. She says, "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows?" I just have to say, as I've been memorizing this with some of the ladies here, we've all gotten a kick out of, for those of us who have sons, just saying, "What are you doing, my son?" When Truman's getting into stuff, or Patrick, "What are you doing, son of my womb?" I'm not thinking it's as funny as I do. Charles Bridges said, "What an animating burst from the yearning of a mother's heart. Happy mother when the son of her womb is the son of vows. Like Samuel, a dedicated child, a child of many prayers." If there were more Hannahs, would there not be more Samuels? A mother's faith shapes her focus when it comes to her children. She doesn't want them to just be like everyone else. She is passionate that they are set apart for God. And if you are a mother, your first ministry besides your husband is children. The fields are white for harvest in your home. Look at her focus in verse 15. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. Who are the primary people in her household? Her children. She takes care of them. So much so that her children are first to rise up and call her blessed in verse 28. Why are they praising her? Because mom lived a life of ease or constantly complained about spending time with them? No, they have seen her faith and they are recipients of her focus. You know, the world so often tells us as women that hard work we put into our homes doesn't count. The feminists hate the idea of being tied down at home with little ones. But this Proverbs 31 woman's faith shapes her view. She is concerned for her household. Now, I will also say this. Your children will hurt you. And I know this too, just the first time my kid bit me or hit me or they told me they didn't like me. But I know, too, that even as adults, that they will hurt me one day. As I know, I've hurt my parents with things I've said or done. But besides knowing I am glorifying my Heavenly Father, my deepest encouragement I have ever received have come from my husband and children. Charles is on this kick of building paper boats, and he's 9, and I was helping him this past week, and I helped him find a straw to build his boat, and to be, "Thank you for helping me, Mom, because most moms probably wouldn't help their sons build like this." Now, I know there are a ton of moms out there who would help their son build a paper boat, but wow, those little words encourage me. Where do you want your accolades to come from? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done it, but you excel them all. Do you want this blessedness? It doesn't come cheap. It's hard. It's an act of faith, but it is always worth it. But we see, too, that her focus does reach beyond her four walls. Look now at verse 20. She opens her hands to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. Matthew Henry says, she is charitable to the poor. She is as intent upon giving as she is upon getting. What if that was true of our world? She often serves the poor with her own hand, and she does it freely, cheerfully, and very liberally with an outstretched hand. This woman is a life giver. She is both inward and outward focused. Inward in the sense that she's first focused on the needs and by taking care of her husband and children. And because she does that with excellence, she is also able to focus outward. Her children know intimately her love for them, but they also observe her care for those behind the walls of their home. And this is a powerful witness, not only to those she ministers to, but to her family as well. 1 Timothy 5:10 gives us a fuller description of this type of woman when describing the character of widows that the church should help care for. Listen to this list. Having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work. This is a lifetime of reaching out. It's a lifetime of not self-focused, but Godward focused. This woman has open hands and reaches out because her focus is on the Lord. And this doesn't mean that she always has it all together, but her focus is grounded in her faith. She may often exclaim, as it says in the Chronicles, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We've looked at this woman's faith. It's the fuel for what she does. We focus. And lastly, I want you to notice her fortitude. This woman of strength is a woman of fortitude. Now, one of the knocks that feminists have against biblical womanhood is that if a woman is selfless like this, if she is truly has her focus on her husband and children and others, that she's going to be a doormat, she's not going to be accomplished in this world, her worth is not as great, her life won't have lasting significance, she's not a strong woman, and she's definitely not someone to be emulated. This is a message that feminism has sold us as women, but it is a lie. Because what we see here in Proverbs 31 is the opposite of a woman who is weak or uninfluential. The Proverbs 31 woman has great fortitude and strength of mind. She's the one building the world and influencing culture. She is a corner pillar. Psalm 144:12 gives us a picture of what biblical womanhood looks like. This verse in the Psalms is a metaphor that highlights the significance of a godly woman's influence. It says this, "May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace." If you read the Psalm in context, verse 12 through 15 of the Psalm give a picture for what a society at peace looks like. Derek Kinder, an Old Testament scholar, says of this verse, "The prayer starts with the family and its generation, not with dreams of empire. Here, as Psalm 127, 3 through 5 points out, is God-given living strength. Sons, the young olive shoots of Psalm 128, 3, are now pictured as well-established saplings, and the daughters as the very picture of statuesque elegance and strength, like sculptured pillars at the corner of a palace. There has been nothing slipshod in their upbringing." What is the key to a flourishing nation at peace? The family. And here in the family, the woman is pictured as a pillar, a corner beautiful. It is stately. It gives a building architectural beauty, but it is also strong, and the building cannot stand without it. That is the power of a godly woman. She is the glue of her family and of society. Lose godly women, and you lose the world. Do not underestimate your worth in the eyes of God. He wants to use you. He wants to use you in your season right now. Single, married, widowed, divorced. If you know him, you are a corner pillar. Through his power, you can be a woman of strength. You can change the world by your simple and quiet life of faith. This aspect of this Proverbs 31 woman's fortitude is practically in every line of this chapter. Look at 18. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go at night. Now, one of the ways her lamp does not go out at night is most likely intentional. You know, she's getting up early. She's getting up at maybe impossible times to do things for her household, staying up late to sew a Christmas gift or baking a birthday cake. Many of you ladies have been there. But as I have been in the throes of motherhood and memorizing this passage at the same time, I've realized that your lamp going out at night is not always intentional. Sometimes, no matter how hard you try to get that lamp off, it just keeps coming back on. A baby waking in the night, a child sick in the night, maybe all those same three things the same night. Or maybe it's you wake in the night, anxious for a child, and you are getting on your knees to pray. Or let's take children out of the mix. Maybe you can't sleep because you are going through a life change or a life stage that is just so challenging. Maybe you are grieving the loss of a parent or longing for a husband or children, or you are just in a particular season that is just so hard. Your lamp may not be going out at night. And while you really do need sleep, you can trust God to help you endure a hard season of little sleep. You can pray Psalm 127, 1 through 2. It is in vain for you to rise up early and go late to rest, bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Matthew Henry says, strength and honor are her clothing, in which she wraps herself and in which she appears to the world. She enjoys firmness and constancy of mind, has spirit to bear up under the many crosses and disappointments which even wise and virtuous must expect to meet within this world. And this is her clothing, defense as decency. What exudes out of this woman is strength in her inner person. This was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3:16, that to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Because this woman has her faith in God and not in herself, she is a woman of fortitude. She is able to trust God not just in difficulty, but also for the future. How do I know that? Look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Warren Wiersbe in his study Bible said, a virtuous and capable wife is confident as she faces the future. In the Bible, to be clothed with something means that it is a part of a person's life and reveals itself in a person's character and conduct. Because she is clothed with this character, she has steel in her mind. She even laughed at the time to come. Some translations say rejoice. Others say smile. And for those of us who are moms, you know how you feel when you just look back at an old picture of your kids. You know, Audrey Kate's turning 13 this weekend, and I think about when we moved here, she was 8. And I want to jump back sometimes into that picture and just relive that time. There's just a sense of sadness present at the brevity of life and the passing of years, and that is a normal emotion. Or maybe you look at your life now and you aren't where you want it to be. Or things haven't gone as planned and you agonize over it. Look at the example this woman sets for us. Because of her faith in God, this woman is able to face her future with joy. You know, our society is pushing us as women to do the opposite of this. Ignore the future, stay young. We have a generation of women who are afraid of the future, afraid to age, afraid to face middle age, afraid to face old age, afraid to face death. And it takes strength to face those things. And this woman has it. She accepts her season of mourning. She accepts it, and that's always the first step. But not just that. She laughs. She laughs at the fear. She is able to have joy despite how difficult things may become. And you might think that this could never be possible, but I promise you that it can. The last few years, I had the privilege of watching my mom care for her grandma, for her mom, my grandma, in the final season of her life. And my grandma suffered from a form of dementia the past 5 years of her life, and her decline mentally was hard to see. You know, every time I went to her, visit her, despite the challenges she faced, she smiled and hugged me, and she would ask me, how is the church going? She tried to get Aunt to come pastor her small church. She would say, you know, even when we moved into our new house a year and a half ago, how is the house? How's your cat? She loved cats. However, even that began to change with her visits. You know, I remember when I went, when she was no longer able to know my name or ask me questions, but she still smiled. She still hugged. She still laughed. But it wasn't just my mother. It was my mom, too. Because she had to live the long goodbye with her mom. And it was just plain sometimes for me to go there and to see her facing that goodbye. And to remember that grandma wasn't living at the farm anymore, that her husband and her parents were gone. But even though I know my mom's heart was full of sadness, God gave her strength to have joy. She'd walk in that room and say, how are you, mama? She hung Bible verses all over her room. She got to know every staff member who was taking care of my grandma. She decorated for the seasons. She hung a bird feeder outside my grandma's window and brought Bibles from home. She helped her plant tomato seeds. My grandma always loved to do that. Like every lunch, she would take her tomato seeds and plant them at home. She lived on the farm. She had a huge garden of tomato plants. And when she could no longer talk, my mom talked to her and for her. They watched Wind Calls the Heart together. My grandma loved that show. And my mom drove the 2 hours to see her weekly. So many women would not have been able to smile at the future of what was to come, but my mom did. Right after Christmas, I got a call from my mom, and my grandma had gone to be with the Lord early that morning, and she told me that when they found her, that she had a smile on her face. I'm not saying life isn't hard, and I'm not saying that you won't grieve and have seasons of depression, loneliness, or grief. The Psalms are filled with these real life examples of the difficulties life brings. You know them. But what this Proverbs 31 woman teaches us so clearly is that knowing the Lord changes everything. Our faith impacts our focus in this world and gives us fortitude to face each new day. And by the power of Christ in us, we too can be women of strength. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for giving us your word and giving us this example of this model woman whose faith was in you. Lord, we know from your word that just a small ounce of faith, what you can do with that. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be women not striving to have everything together outwardly, but that we would be women with the quiet simplicity of faith, Lord, that you would change our focus to be not on ourselves. Lord, we daily need help with that, but that our focus would be on those you've placed in our lives. And Lord, because of that, Lord, give us the strength that comes from you. Lord, I know that there are women in this room walking through some really hard things. Lord, and there's nothing I can say to make it better. But Lord, I know that you are able to be their strength. So Lord, I pray that you would help them smile. I pray that you would help them laugh, that we would look at the time to come and yes, have joy, because know you, and we have future laid up for us with you and with one another. Lord, I thank you too just for the new faces you've brought into our Capital family. Lord, I just pray that you continue to grow us through the power of your word and our love for one another. And I just give you this evening, I pray for all of the families and the children represented in this room that you would bless them as they are at home. In Jesus' name, amen.